Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 293 of the 8-Bit Geek. If you're new around these parts, let me clue you in on what it's like around here. 8-Bit Geek is a lot like inseminating a cow.
What?
Whoa.
You know how it goes.
No, I don't.
Your papa comes in to your room early one morning.
Wait, what?
And you're getting your Fortnite on, and he's like... It's time. You know, you get dressed and you head down to the barn.
After playing Fortnite.
He hands you a long hand condom. It stretches to your shoulder, you know, put it on. Lubes up your entire arm and then lifts the tail. In you go. Elbow deep. Just getting that cow pregnant. Then you pull that arm out and it's just covered in God knows what, dripping everywhere. Just some nasty shit. Then it's right back to Fortnite. And that's 8-Bit for you.
What?
I'm Jeremy. And with me today are two men who can't orgasm unless they perform insemination on one another.
Wait, like only on each other? So like we can orgasm with anyone else but just me and Doug? That's a fucked up life right there.
That would be pretty fucked up. And also,
especially since like he's over there and I'm over here and we're both like hetero life mates. Like, kind of fucked up. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to expect on that, but I mean, my mind's been opened up today. I'm Kevin.
I'm Doug. So in the chat, Blakey says, oh, hell yeah, now I'm wet. And then Reezy says, well, my kid can't hear this.
Yeah.
I hope your kid isn't listening to this show anyway.
Most adults can't hear this.
That's true.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Hey, I just know that I do it a lot for Ryan. I know he's sitting back just laughing when he hears this. Eventually in 6 months when he catches up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know. So I've been a little under the weather. My voice at the beginning of that intro was great. And then it's gone south from there already. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, sounds about right.
I do apologize. But other than that, we've got a great show for you guys today. We've got some great announcements coming up as well. Stay tuned for that. And other than that, I just wanted to really check in with you two before we get going. When was the last time you two orgasmed together?
Together? Comic Palooza. Hmm.
Yeah, 2018.
Yeah, was it back in May?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the Dutch Rudder action, dude. That's pretty much it. As long as you don't make eye contact, it's good.
That's right.
Wait.
He helps me out, I help him out.
So
it's a victimless crime, really.
You're face to face?
No, I said we're not connecting eyes, man. You don't make eye contact during a Dutch Rudder.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Did I just blow your mind right there? You're like, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I've been doing it wrong this whole time.
Huh. I've been doing a reverse Dutch Rudder, I guess.
You just grab some. Give it to me.
Well, 293 episodes in. If this is your first time, this is what it's like.
We're so sorry.
Yeah, I apologize. It's not always like this.
No, it's not. It's more poop jokes than...
It's a lot more poop jokes than anything.
A lot more. There's so much poop.
But if you did get some enjoyment out of that intro, it's mostly to grab your attention. That's what it's there for. And to pull you in and really say, I fucking like these guys already.
Well,
or
the opposite. God, what a bunch of mature fuckwads. I'm out.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's the...
You've got 3 minutes to decide if you're in or not.
Most of the time, though, yeah, they're out. But sometimes we get that one, and that one is all we need.
That's right.
So if you do like what we're doing, you know, our bandwidth is purchased by and supported by Audioboom. They also host our podcast. Go check them out. They're wonderful. They're our sponsor, and we love them to death because, you know, without them, we would have to pay for you to hear us, and that's not cool.
Yeah.
If you don't want to check out Audio Boom, that's cool too. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and anywhere else that you find podcasts, we're going to be there. All you got to do is look us up, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, and become part of that notification squad. You can follow us on social media at they. Kev loved that. You can follow us on social media.
I was cheering. Someone in the chat said, Black Bagged said, hey, I quit my job so I could finally make it to a live show. Hashtag priorities.
Yeah.
And so I went to go like this and I hit my mic boom and it's like I hit my finger on it.
Calm that down. That's $10, man.
That's $10.
Pay for that.
Wait, do I pay $10 or do I get $10?
No, you pay $10.
You pay $10. You break it, you buy it.
Yeah, you break. Well, that's the thing. Like, you didn't break fine. It. You just hit your. Mm-hmm.
Hit it.
We're talking about the microphone, not your hand. I don't give a shit about your hand.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Fuck you hit the microphone. That's $10. You break it. It's $500, Kev.
That's true. But the mic arm itself is just $10. That's your how much arm. It's worth.
Did you hit the arm or the microphone?
A little bit. No, the arm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're safe then. We can also find us live every Monday night right here on Twitch. We record it live. You can come be a part of the chat. That's a lot of fun to jump in there and talk to everybody. We do a fun thing every week that's connected to Misconnections, which is... Sorry, I had to cough there for a second. Whole sick thing. You can throw bits at us, and we'll read your voices that you tell us to read on the Misconnections. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. But join
so
the chat.
So far in the lead... Zectax. 70.
Yep. One of his donations was 69. Nice.
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 We wanted to talk a little bit about what we got coming up, which is really cool. We have 8-Bit Secret Santa.
Yeah. So
our community is one of the best things that we've got going for us here. I cannot say enough about the quality of people that we have a part of this thing. You know, it's almost, I liken it to being a band and you have this hardcore fan base, you know, right before mm-hmm. you get to that echelon where you're playing fucking super stadiums and shit. That's them. They're sitting there pushing you to the top. I love the fans. Yeah. They're the fucking best. And we're putting on a Secret Santa for them. It's going to be a lot of fun. You have to go to the Discord in order to sign up. We have the Discord there for the community to talk to each other, to hang out and interact every day. But it's also got the sign-up form, how to get involved with the 8-Bit Secret Santa. It's going to be a great time. We have over 20 people who are already participating in the Secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And sign-ups just happened like 5 minutes ago before the show we launched it. So get in there. You get a chance to get something from somebody. You get to bless somebody with something else that maybe they've been looking for, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. The fun thing about it is that the 8-Bit Geek staff is also going to do this. We're a part of this. So you may end up with one of us or we may end up with one of you. All right. So that'd be a lot of fun to receive something mm-hmm. from us. There is also one other big announcement. 8-Bit Geek itself is going to choose one lucky winner out of this thing, the Secret Santa. So they were going to pull them out of a hat. You're going to be the kind of inaugural mega Secret Santa winner because what's the cap at for the gifts? Was it 50 bucks?
50 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever gets 8-Bit Geek, whoever the actual network gets, we're gonna fucking blow your socks off because we're gonna treat you on a little bit of a shopping spree and make it worth your while, okay? So do that. Sign up. You have a chance to either get one of us or become the big Christmas. It's not like super big. Don't go fucking crazy. We're not buying you a fucking house.
Not yet.
One day.
That's next year. We're just testing the water, dipping our toes this year. Yeah.
Ratty's asking, does it have to be 50? Ratty, if you pick me, you can spend whatever you want, buddy.
No, I think 50 was the limit, I believe, right? Like, we don't want you to spend more than $50. You can spend, I think, whatever you want, really.
Yeah,
I would say minimum maybe $10 or something like that. You know, just but I'd say it's more about just the heart of the gift, really.
Nah, like fuck that. I want the gift that's $50, please. Thank you.
Send me a $50 gift card.
Just send me a $50.
I would rather take some really cool, like heartfelt stuff than a gift card any day.
Oh yeah, yeah. That'd be really cool.
Fuck that. Give me gift cards. I got shit I need to go buy. Just kidding.
Ratty's like, what's $10? He doesn't know that. $10. That US
lingo. So, 10 squid, bruh. I don't know why I said brah.
Brah. So come be a part of Ape at Secret Santa. It's a lot of fun. We're gonna have a good time with it. Signups end December 4th, so make sure you head on over to Discord. It's on the website at www.theapeitgeek.com. Check it out. Join. You don't even need to chat in the Discord. You can just sign up for the Secret Santa. Be a lot of fun. Let's see. We've got some other shows on the network you should check out. We have 8-Bit Saga, Divas Dropkicks and Dives, and Brayberry Tarts. Kev, don't you have an announcement as well?
Yeah, but first off, it's quid, not squid. Thank you, Jana.
I would like to think that the UK pays for everything in squid.
Oh, man.
They just lay some wet
fucking squid, please.
Lay a fucking squid down.
Just drop it like a fucking hockey game.
All right, here's 10 of them.
Yeah. So, for you Patreon folks, if you haven't seen it already, there's a little teaser in your inbox for 8-Bit Brawl Season 2. For everyone who hasn't seen it yet, become a patron. Go see it. It's pretty fun. But also, the announcement was made November 28th, Season 2 begins of 8-Bit Brawl. It's a Wednesday night. It's going to do the same time as it did, I believe, like 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And there's going to be new characters, old returning characters, all kinds of fun. I'm trying to up the ante. I got a little bit more customizable options this year so I can have some fun stuff like money in the bank briefcases. So just it's going to be awesome. But November 28th, Wednesday, November 28th, 8-Bit Brawl Season 2 is starting back up.
You're awesome.
No. And so, dude, it was so much fun, that Patreon video. Like I said, if you're a Patreon and you haven't seen it, go watch that video. It's really fun. It's the start of who gets to be the money in the bank winners, or who gets to be the money in the bank holders between 8-Bit Geek and the Saga crew. So it's pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
I'm not going to spoil anything other than that.
Okay. So I was trying to do something fun for the Patreon people, but I can't. I'm not allowed to do it, which kind of sucks. I was trying to do a new tier in Patreon, and I was trying to do a $0 tier, and so that way we could do kind of like a Black Friday kind of thing, and where all content for next week would go out for, you know, to everyone, not just the people who pay, but to kind of give everybody a preview of what it's of what we have, the kind
of
content on there.
You can technically do that. You just, when you post stuff, you set it for public instead of.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I guess I could, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so check this out. We'll announce that too then. Lots of announcements. Next week, not this week, next week, we're going to set everything to public to allow people to enjoy and see what we have to offer. And that way, if you want to become a patron, you know, you may be a little bit timid to join. You're like, I don't know if it's worth it or not. We're going to give you some content for free. That way you can see exactly what we do for the mm-hmm. Patreons and all that. So all you have to do is follow us over on Patreon or go to the website. All the information is there. All next week, we'll give you the diner for free. You'll get the pre-show, the post-show for free. The Saga comic, we won't.
Well, we can change the first two pages that are out to free. Okay. The first two, you have to go back, but I mean, like 2 weeks, but.
All right.
Make those available for the public as well.
Okay, we'll mm-hmm. do the first two pages of Saga comic for free. So that way everybody can kind of get a chance to see what we're doing over there. That'd be a lot of fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do some misconnections.
Yeah.
Every week we take real ads from the misconnection section of Craigslist. We read them in funny voices. I have to sneeze. These are completely real. We don't edit them in any way, but we definitely can't make this stuff up.
Boy sees girl. Boy is interested in girl. Boy awkwardly stares at girl from across the room. Boy never approaches girl. Girl leaves. Boy swears they are meant for one another. Boy turns to Craigslist for help finding girl. 8-Bit Geek steps in. Welcome to Misconnections.
This week, sorry, I was reading the chat and then there was a sneeze thing. So this week we have Mr. Crush Paradise came in first place last week. He said Doug has to do Herbert the Pervert.
Yes.
I have to do
the whistle down.
I have to do Bill Clinton, and then Kev has to do Hulk Hogan.
Who chose Hulk Hogan for me, by the way?
That would be classic. Was that random? It was classic. Huh?
Classic.
And then okay. Ratty chose Bill Clinton for me.
Which is hilarious.
So, which is going to be a lot of fun. Now, what's really special about this misconnection is that it's a three-parter. It's all the same conversation.
Oh, no.
And it's amazing. So, it's three replies. Well, two replies to an original post. So that should be a lot of fun.
Oh, there it goes. I had to minimize it because mine didn't show up.
Yeah, it was being cut off by the page. But it's there now.
So, Doug, kick this thing off and we'll...
Okay, I gotta find the voice. So it's okay. Oh, hey, Chris. Chris, look at that whistle in there.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good.
What? White Castle. Women for women. I miss you so much. I want you to marry me. Spend my life with you. I love you.
And then Bill Clinton came in with a reply. I don't know. I don't know if I could do a Bill Clinton. I don't know. Hold on. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
There you go.
You sound like Terry Funk.
White Castle, male for woman, 1921. Long time ago. Back off, bitch. White Castle is mine. I'm in love with her hot and steamy buns. The way you can still smell her scent from hours after she leaves.
Oh, no. Bill.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Bill. Mr. President.
When are you and her? When are with her? You can never have enough and always wanting more of her soft buns. So, back off, bitch. She's mine. But maybe we can share.
Oh, no.
Oh, I see what's happening here.
All right.
The next one.
Enter in Hulk Hogan.
Well, you know something, Mean Gene? I've never partaken in White Castle. These pythons were raised on protein, not burgers. But I'm guessing she'd leave me feeling sluggish, brother, and sleazy, Jack.
That's true.
She's probably not good for social life either. You know something, Mean Gene? I definitely recommend using protection, brother. Pepto-Bismol or the like. Much love, Hulk Hogan.
Much love? That's something that Hulk Hogan says?
I finish every tweet with much love, HH.
Looking that up now.
Unless it's Terry Bollea, then I'm dropping N-bombs all day.
Twitter.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
The Hulk Hogan's a good, upstanding American.
Okay, now you've gone into Alex Jones.
Yeah. You found out it was me, Austin. It was me all along. Alex Jones. Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, the conversation clearly became about
White Castle.
White Castle. Yeah.
It was all about the goddamn restaurant.
Yeah. Because the second one's like, oh, it's so gross. And then it was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
They're writing about the restaurant.
Let's get into some top box office here. I guess some people are disappointed with the way that Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald have performed, I guess. It made $62 million. That's pretty good, but I guess it's the lowest Harry Potter of the, you know, Harry Potter franchise in the franchise, I guess.
Kind of snuck out, I think. I didn't even know it was coming out this weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, my whole like perception of time is off, so I didn't realize that this week was Thanksgiving week until like Sunday.
Yeah, that's true too.
And so, Yeah, I didn't know that movie was coming out last week either. It still feels like it's like a month away, especially with the amount of like, I don't know, like hype and stuff, the amount of commercials and ads and stuff. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's been a lot less this year. I know I've definitely seen some on TV, but again, it doesn't feel like, you know, the last movie where it was like a full on blitz, where it was like every commercial break, there was a crime or not a Fantastic Beast commercial or something, you know?
I agree with that. Yeah, they pimped the first one like crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this one, yeah, this one, yeah. I don't know. I wanted to go see it. I had a choice. Well, I didn't really have a choice. I tried to talk Ashley into seeing Fantastic Beasts, but we ended up going to see Instant Family because that's what she wanted to watch. And sometimes you get a, you know, sometimes after she watches 18 superhero films, I think I could give her one.
Yeah.
So
how was it?
Well, I'm glad that you asked.
Oh, your boy's in it.
Because the window's open, baby.
Oh, God damn it. No.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
No.
You know what's...
Hey, Mark, are you sick, too?
Yeah, I got... Oh, God. This was really bad to do. This was a terrible idea. Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm all in. I gotta go. Bye!
He's already gone. I think this is the best episode ever.
I can't do his fucking voice while sick. It's terrible. The movie was okay. It wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't anything special. It was heartfelt. It had its moments. It was a good family, not family film. Boy, I can tell you what. They get away with a lot in a PG-13 now.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, there was F-bombs. There was...
Like more than one? Because I thought you only get like one per PG-13 movie.
There was F-bomb. There were a lot of shits.
Oh, yeah, that's...
There was a lot of talk of masturbation.
Yeah, that's... Okay.
That was a fun ride home with Colin.
Dad, what's masturbating?
Dad, what's meth?
Oh shit, Dad.
So
what's meth?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's gonna watch.
Next time you go visit Uncle Kevin, we'll take you to a place. You'll see it.
Yeah, I mean it's a drug, dude. Like,
yeah, that's right. That's
DARE?
What I'm saying.
Do you not have DARE programs?
Oh, DARE to keep kids off the streets.
Maybe.
Or drugs.
I think he's had that. But like, he's already had like sex.
Then he's done meth stuff.
He's done meth.
Oh man, yeah. Those DARE officers really bring it in. They're like,
yeah, they want you to know what you're getting into.
Don't bash it if you don't try it.
Listen, they're gonna go to high school and there's gonna be kids there and they're gonna make you do meth. So we're just jumping the gun. We're gonna let you try it now.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna give you a sample, and then you're gonna know what to look out for.
That's what we're doing
this
week. Oh,
you want another sample? Okay, here you go. It's got to be
sure. Next week, we're doing heroin. Black tar heroin next week.
Jesus.
What are you, fucking Ruff McGruff or whatever his name was?
Right.
He's really fell off the horse since they got rid of DARE.
Oh, man. Was he even a part of DARE? No, he was just like his own thing. Like, take a bite out of crime.
No, he was a part of DARE,
wasn't
he? There
was so many, like, fucking mascots for shit like that in the 80s, dude.
He was 90s, wasn't he?
Fucking Smokey the Bear. Only you could prevent forest fires by raking your leaves.
Hold on.
That says DARE doesn't exist anymore.
Take a bite out of crime.
I'm McGruff. Yeah.
Man. Yeah,
so there was a whole bunch of those, man. There was a mascot for every like public activity like that.
I remember going.
To a park. It still exists. Fuck off, Ed.
I remember going to a park as a kid and seeing the McGruff in a costume.
That wasn't McGruff, bro.
Really? Because we went and did stuff. We did stuff. Let's go on to the stories.
Hey, hold on real quick, though. Have you guys seen...
He took a bite out of something that day.
Have you guys seen... I'm going to send you guys the picture of the... I guess it's the DARE lion. I don't really know what his like official title is.
DARE lion?
There you go. Yeah, it's like their mascot.
DARE had a lion?
Oh, yeah, this is bad.
I'm gonna send you this.
Oh, this is real bad.
That's terrible.
It's like a furry. thing. Did you guys
find it? Yeah, that's not real, is it? No, that looks sad.
This is on their website. I just pulled this photo I'm sending to you guys from their website.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. He looks like a cross between like a furry and a fucking member of Poison. Like, with that name.
You put a bandana around his head.
Yeah, it's fucking Bret Michaels as a furry.
And a guitar in his hands. Done.
Oh, man.
That's great.
That's why Dare isn't successful. That's why he couldn't win the war on drugs. We got fucking furry Bret Michaels.
I don't know, man. I think it's probably
trying to stop it.
Probably comes down to your
see that and they're gonna say, like, no, I'm gonna do drugs.
They're like, what drugs were you doing when you thought of this mascot?
No. Clearly you can do it. Why can't I? they want to see it over in the chat, so I'm gonna pull that up quick.
No links.
The last picture I used in the show was the horse face.
Oh no.
That horse from Red Dead that looks like the one was like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
It's exploding.
Oh, that's good.
You can show it off.
What did you think? I haven't even played Red Dead all weekend because I've been gone.
Nobody's played it.
Man.
Nobody's played it.
No.
There
talk about that in gaming.
Right there. There is that. So the viewers can see it. Where's the. It's a furry.
For you folks at home, just look up Dare.
Yeah, dare.org.
Dare.org and look at the mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Now we're going to get contacted by Dare and be like, yo, you talking. We're going to have that lion come into our house.
Oh my god, I'd love to interview that lion. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Bring him in.
Ed says, I wish you'd shop Jared to that picture. Well, let Caleb know. Caleb's our go-to, like, quick Photoshop.
He is. Guy. He's really good at that.
And then also, Random says, what's the bit count? Currently, the bit count is Mike is in the lead with 490 bits.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or Zektek.
Yeah. Because it was also 420 and 69 and 1.
Well, and
nice.
Stage Tech says, maybe the lion will bring samples.
Yeah,
let's see. I've got your heroin in this bag. I've got your cocaine in this one.
Yeah. It's like that scene from Pulp Fiction where he just rolls it out on the bed. He's like naming everything. God damn.
You want to lose weight?
We have gotten so off the rails. We haven't even left movies yet.
I'd like to if losing weight, I'll take that mouth ball that they put. You know,
mouth ball?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
The big mouth
ball gag?
The ball gag? Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that I
that's
mean
not a, that's not a drug.
Oh. Yeah, that's just a kink, dude.
Oh, it could be. It could be. let's get into some movie news, shall we? Let's move on from this shit.
Sorry.
We're so sorry, everyone.
How did we get there?
This episode is the most debaucherous episode we've had.
I don't remember the trail that led us to talking about Dare.
Man.
I don't remember
either. All right.
The Academy has threatened to resurrect the popular film Oscar idea. You know, they're talking about it. It got shut down because it was such a bad idea.
Yeah.
But they're still like, there's a quote saying that it's still on the table. We're still talking about it. You know, most of it is because of their sagging ratings and how nobody's watching this shit. My thing is like, well, if you want people to watch it, instead of making a most popular Oscar, why don't you just put these popular fucking films that are technical achievements in movie of the fucking year and have one win it? Like,
I mean, they did that for like Lord of the Rings. I think that's like one of the only ones that was like a triple A title, not a triple A title, but you know, whatever movie masterpiece that was a huge seller and movie of the year. I think Return of the King was the one that won movie of the year.
Yeah, but that one wasn't even a, like, that was just a favor. That was like a, hey, I'm sorry to Peter Jackson, because everybody said, because the second one is where everybody said, this shit is like needs to be a contender.
Two Towers was amazing.
It got snubbed. And so then the next year, when Return of the King came out, then all of a sudden the Oscars were like, well, we gotta give them everything. And so he like swept the Oscars. And so it was more like a, hey, we're sorry about that last year, you know. But I think that you know, I get it. Like the Oscars are famous for artsy picks and, you know, really great film and shit. But you have to start admitting to yourself that a lot of these superhero movies or big blockbusters, some of them have just sensational storylines.
Well, and sensational casts too, like great acting casts.
Exactly. It's not like it used to be, and so I think that they have to be let into the door and into the conversation. It's not enough anymore just to nominate them for nomination's sake. I think it's time for you to start recognizing the work that these people are doing on these films and how good it really is. You know, just because it's not a dramatic film from beginning to end, some would argue that like the second Captain America movie should have won Oscars for performances because of the fact of. I mean, it was such a great film minus the superhero, still could have been an amazing espionage movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Totally. We've said that before in the past. So I think it's important that the Oscars kind of move away from this fucking tradition of only worrying about the smaller films or the artsy films. I think all of them are worth taking a look at. Not to say that those films aren't.
Those should still get exposure, though, too, because those are still phenomenal films.
Yeah, they are. Like, they are. And that's what I was saying. Like, I'm not saying
like
that. Hidden
Figures and like the last couple of years, Moonlight and all that stuff. Like,
they deserve a look, but also these bigger films do, too. That's all.
I'm looking at the last winners for the last, ever. And just some of the ones that I'm just like, I forgot that they won. But I don't know. There's some pretty big title movies. Maybe not like Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, like size, but like Gladiator, you know?
Yeah.
The Departed. You know, again, there's some pretty big movies on here. Obviously, like Titanic and stuff like that. Braveheart, even. But there's also someone here, I'm like, that one? Like Unforgiven? Like, I watched Unforgiven a couple weeks ago, and it's a Western with, what's his nuts? Clint Eastwood. And it was a good Western, but best movie of the year? 92 must have sucked dick. Or 91.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great movie. But like the year before was Silence of the Lambs, and the year after is Schindler's List. So I don't know what happened in 92, but.
The fall of cocaine. People started cleaning up.
Gruff McGruff came around.
He's cleaning up
the crime. Taking a bite out of that cocaine crime.
Yeah, Hollywood, it's time to clean you up.
And then he went away, and that explains why Argo won in 2012.
studios are looking to shrink the home video window in 2019.
What does that even mean?
Well, so video on demand releases. You know how it used to be? It'd be like a 6-month window, or maybe
I get what you're saying.
From theater to video on demand or on DVD or whenever it came out.
Yeah.
So they tried to do this. What was it? I think I read it in. Yeah. In 2017, the studios and the theaters were close to signing a deal that would enable studios to release their movies on demand weeks after the theatrical window, but the deal fell through. And so now they're looking to, you know, kind of shorten that again. So that way they want to make as much money as they can off of this shit before people forget that the movie is actually out. I don't know. I think that the wait is fine. I don't mind waiting. I think it gives it time to be in the theater. Why alienate that crowd?
Because they're not seeing the return on the people that aren't going to go see it in the theaters. Like, so their thought is, let's make as much money as we can up front. So you'll get the people that want to see it in the theaters when it's in theaters. But then the people that either don't want to go spend money in a theater, maybe don't live near a good enough theater or whatever, can then get the film at home soon after while it's still fresh in their mind because they were just seeing trailers and previews for it. For it being in the movie theater, like, the 6-month thing, I mean, like, that's the thing, is like, you forget in like 6 months about a movie that you saw in the theater or you didn't see or whatever, so you forget about it. So unless you see a commercial or an ad for it somewhere, you may totally miss that movie came out on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, digital. You know, and so, like, yeah, I understand the quick turnaround. I mean, because I'm not going to go see Fantastic Beasts in theaters. Not in theaters. Not right now.
I'm surprised.
But, but if it was available, you know, in, like, 3 weeks at home, you know, I would have a better chance of seeing it sooner instead of having to wait 6 months until it's out on Plex.
What here's an interesting one. I was thinking about it, and so what about like Blu-ray releases and everything? I assume they would have to take a little bit longer on that because they would have to like kind of post. They have to add all the extra features, and it's like a lot of video on demand. It's just the movie, right? They don't ever do like when you get a video on demand that you get like behind the scenes or whatever. Extras come with a Blu-ray, right?
Netflix is actually working on that now.
Really?
Yeah. Netflix announced that they are working on including behind the scenes stuff now with their service. So
that would be cool because
they just released a behind the scenes like feature thing for what's that show called? Stranger Things.
Ooh.
And yeah, I bought Rogue One on Blu-ray and it came with a digital code, and so I added it to my Amazon library because I don't know. Why not? And it has all the special features. They're all at the end of the movie. So at the end of the movie, there's like 20 minutes of special features.
Oh, and it just kind of just plays just like
through it. Yeah.
See, that's interesting because that's the one thing that's the one drop off I've had when I switched from Blu-ray to digital is like that I'm going to lose all those extra behind the scenes features because no one really has those. But if they're going to start supplying them, that's even better. I'm all for this.
I haven't purchased a DVD or Blu-ray in years.
It's been a while for me. It's been almost a year for me. I think like when they came out with the Phantasm 4K edition and then like Phantasm 5, I picked those up together.
Yeah. I think Rogue One might have been the last movie on DVD I bought.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, we all think that people are still are buying physical copies, but you go into Best Buy and it's shrunk down to like one fucking rack.
Yeah.
For their Blu-ray section and their DVD section. It's almost non-existent anymore. And so
watch a lot of stuff online. I mean, so yeah, if the internet ever goes down, it's like, well, shit,
you're fucked.
I guess thank God I still have all my TVs, TV shows on DVD, the collections and stuff. I still have I boxed up a lot of my movies a couple of years ago because it was like I haven't watched. I've kept a couple of the collector's ones and special titles that like I, you know, are just special, and I kept those. But like everything else went into a box. A garage sale or something, but like I kept all the TV shows though, so we have all of Friends, we have all of like Gilmore Girls and Scrubs and stuff like Game of Thrones and stuff like that.
Yeah, we sold pretty much like I would say 90% of our collection, and it's just we've gone digital. I mean, it's just so much easier, the accessibility, and just, you know, with especially with Plex, man, Plex is amazing. So it's really hard to like kind of still want to get up, even video games, like as we've talked about that, like I've kind of gone digital with it. I would rather have a digital copy that I can just not have to like just put it on a hard drive and then not have to get up every time and change the disc.
Dude, I just saw a game on sale for $20 and it's the physical edition, and I went pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, because even if you have the physical copy, you still have to download like a 30 gig update or some shit. Yeah. So it's like you're still taking up space, so I may as well just buy the thing and install the 50 gigs instead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. What else we got here for the movie news? Oh, this is a good one.
No, how about this one?
Oh, how about this one?
Well, you can do this. You can do that voice. You can do that for the rest of the show if you start losing it.
Yeah. General Mills is going to create something kind of cool here. General Mills put out a website trying to create their own cinematic universe with their monsters, Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Boo Berry. They're calling Hollywood and saying, hey, if you have an idea, come talk to us. We're ready to create. Is that really I don't know. I guess anything can be a movie now, right?
Yeah.
Or a TV show. Put it on Netflix for the kids.
I wonder if they've seen just a decline in the sale of those cereals, so they're trying to figure out a way to up it.
Man,
I buy Count Chocula and Boo Berry every fucking Halloween. Anytime I see it on a shelf, I'm like, oh yes. It is that time. It's like the only cereal I buy all year.
If I get the hankering like being a child again, I'll go and get the what are they called? The Fruity Pebbles. I love the Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, yeah, Fruity Pebbles are awesome. I love the what it turns the milk into, too. Same with Cocoa Pebbles.
Mm-hmm. Tastes, oh, it's like a rainbow delight on your tongue.
Yeah, that's good stuff, dude. I used to eat the hell out of that, especially like when I first moved out. I was like, I'm an adult now. I can eat cereal when I want, 24 hours. So
you ever take you ever take a giant mixing bowl and fill it?
Oh, fucking course. Look at me. I was 315 pounds at one point. Yes, I've eaten almost one whole box in a sitting.
God, there's nothing better. And sometimes when you're an adult and you're just sitting there and you go and you get a little bowl and then you have the milk and the cereal next to you and you go, oh man, I wish I could have another bowl. And then you go, I think I will. And then you just
you're like, start all over.
God, it's the best.
I bought some cold brew coffee last week and it tasted like the... You know when you have like Cinnamon Toast Crunch and mm-hmm. you've got that bowl of milk afterwards, that kind of cinnamony like milk stuff. It was like that. It was. Oh. I took a drink. I was like, "Holy shit, this is so good!" Oh, and it was gone within like 3 days.
No, man,
it was so good. It was so good. It's called Chameleon Brew. So if you're looking for it,
nice.
It's like their Mexican vanilla or something like that. I forget.
Oh man,
so fucking good. Oh my god.
I went to Dunkin' Donuts this morning, and I got a hot chocolate, and it straight up tasted like donuts after I was done. Every time I had a sip, it was delicious. Yeah. It felt like I was eating at the same time, and I was like, no need to get a donut now. This is great.
Yeah. I get a protein shake. You're like this little protein thing. All right,
Kev, we're moving on.
But it's like a little chocolate milk, and it's so filling in the morning. Like, I have one of those, and that's my breakfast, man. It's like an Advantage shake or something like that. Advantage.
Did it taste like anything? Because that's where we're
going.
Yeah,
it's like chocolate milk. Like I said, it's like a thick chocolate milk, and it, like, just basically, like, covers your whole breakfast.
So let me get this straight. It's light chocolate milk, and it tastes like chocolate milk.
It's not chocolate milk. It's like chocolate milk.
But it looks like chocolate milk.
It's a protein. It's a protein drink.
But does it say chocolate on the front of it?
Probably. I don't know. I don't look at the front of it anymore.
So Amazon is going to start streaming exclusive Blumhouse features. And they signed an 8-movie deal.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
No, that's exciting. I'm really excited.
Blumhouse is good stuff.
Watched a lot of like scary things over the last few weeks at night to help keep me awake, keep my heart racing. So this is exciting. I know they're not gonna be coming out anytime soon, but it's just I've watched so much scary stuff that like I'm down for this.
Speaking of scary, Dan Aykroyd still says that Ghostbusters 3 is possible.
No,
that's a
how.
Well, they're pretty much just retconning the last one that came out.
So, I would assume so. But I mean, besides the point, Harold Ramis kind of died.
Yeah, but they would move forward without him.
They did Blues Brothers 2000 without John Belushi.
Yeah.
They used James Belushi for him, though? Or was No.
He wasn't in it at all.
It was John Goodman.
John Goodman was in, but he didn't play Jake, whatever his last name was.
Elway.
No, Juliet. Because he's from Juliet.
Joliet.
Joliet.
Got that sneeze out.
But yeah, they will find a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said that Bill Murray is, you know, coming around to the idea.
It better be a damn good script then, I would assume, because Bill Murray's been turning it down for years.
They said that they're working on the script right now.
Even the video game was based, basically, like when the video game came out, Dan Aykroyd was like, basically, this was our script for 3. Since it may never happen, this was what we wanted to tell. Mm-hmm. So if you play the Ghostbusters game, like the one that, well, now it's like, I think, impossible to find because Steam took it off their library. But it's a great game.
Yeah, I think I
played Gears of War with Ghostbusters.
They said that Dan Aykroyd says that even if we have to make Bill Murray a ghost, we'll do it.
So it would basically be Ray and Winston.
Well, no, they would bring up a younger generation, essentially, you know.
Like Blues Brothers 2000. God damn, he's already made this.
He keeps going back to Blues Brothers 2000.
Well, this is Dan Aykroyd. It'll be
Bill Murray's baby.
It'll be great for the kids.
Let's see. We have a new Lex Luthor in Supergirl, and that would be John Cryer. If you don't remember him, he was in 2.5 Men.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's really surprising, weird, but, you know.
Weird choice.
I can't picture him being a dick, though.
And that's the thing. It's like, you look at the photo of him. All right, you're bald. Cool. White man. Cool. So you're on point so far. And then it's like, but everything he's in, he's like a kind of a nerdy, nice guy. So
nerdy, nice guy, like underdog kind of, yeah.
So it'd be really interesting to see him take that turn. Now, I will say, I follow him on Twitter, and he is, like, you were talking about, he has no shits to give about anybody or anything. Like, I mean, it's very political. And it's 2.5 Men.
What shit should he give?
And it's a lot of, like, he curses a lot.
I just wish that they would have brought back Michael Rosenbaum.
I know, right?
Like, why?
Especially
not?
Since they're doing an Elseworlds thing. Like,
right.
I don't know. I guess this isn't for that specifically, but they could have brought both of them back, both him and Tom Welling, to reprise their roles in this Elseworlds world thing, crossover thing. Because they have what's his nuts as the Flash from the 90s Flash show.
Exactly.
They showed him in his fucking, like, original, like, Flash costume. So why not bring back those two as well? And maybe they've kept them in their wraps, and they will be. And we just don't know yet.
How fucking dope would it be if they opened the show with, do you believe? No, wait, hold on.
That's Cher.
That's Cher. What is it?
How awesome would that be?
Yeah, it'd be pretty fucking sick, but I don't understand what that has to do with anything.
You know what song I'm thinking about, right?
Yeah. Shit, what was that song?
Oh, fuck. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I have no clue what you guys, and I love music. What the hell?
It's the intro to Smallville.
Remy Zero. Hold on, I got it.
Oh,
it's on the show.
Hold on, I gotta play it. Well, I gotta play
save
it.
For, me.
I don't want to wait.
Somebody save me.
Now I gotta play it for the actual.
Nobody can hear it because
the podcast will, Kev. That's what we're talking about here. Always worried about the goddamn Twitch. I'm worried about the millions of people on the podcast.
Yeah, I found that. I went to my iTunes library because I knew I had that song. Like, I have that. So I typed in Smallville and found it.
Bring it back. Make it happen. Sorry, Twitch. I love you too. Wasn't shitting on you.
I was shitting with you.
Yeah, we were pooping together. Let's talk some video games. Microsoft is. I guess they're getting ready to release a discless variant of the Xbox One. Hello and welcome. I think I said this when this got announced. Welcome to, 2013?
Yep.
When this is exactly what they wanted to do when they launched the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. So essentially what they've done over the past 5 years is slowly and quietly launched one feature after another, where people are on board with it all of a sudden, and they're like, oh yeah, it sounds great. So we're getting what their original vision was.
Well, it makes more sense in 2018 than it does in 2013. They jumped the curb. Is that the proper saying of it? Because, like, in 2013, internet wasn't all that great. Like, I mean, even fiber wasn't really out anywhere, even in Kansas City. So it's like all these downloads and stuff, it takes forever to download this stuff, and people have caps and everything like that. Kev, not wanting to.
Kev, I'm raising my hand because back in episode 125, you made the same argument, and then
How do you know back in 125?
We shot you down back then, and we're going to do the same now.
Yeah. That's such a bullshit excuse, Kev. Oh, 5 years ago. Oh, God. Oh, the internet. Oh, it was so terrible. Oh, 5 years. Oh, my God. It was so slow. It was so slow. I don't know. That's not what people cared about. People just didn't want to give up their fucking their discs and stuff.
Yeah, remember the big thing Sony did was they came out with a disc in a box and went, hey, can I borrow this? And then they handed it off to their friend. And they're like, oh, look, now we're sharing. And then everyone in the crowd fucking went crazy for it.
Yeah.
Because they were so pissed off that Microsoft didn't want to do that. Even though they announced that you could share your libraries with your friends, people lost their minds because they were like, we don't have a physical copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how easy it is. So I as a dumb idiot, when I bought Red Dead Redemption, I bought it using, I guess I had a different account set up on my Windows Store on my computer because I bought it for Xbox, right? Yeah. And not my Xbox account, because for whatever reason, I have two fucking accounts. Yeah. Don't know why. And so I was like, fuck. So I went on my Xbox, I set up that account, and then downloaded the game and played it on my account because since that account was on my Xbox, it shared the games automatically. So you could literally, with your friends, just go log onto their machine and then download their games or whatever game they have available that you can then share on. And like, yeah, it sucks because you can go in and you can like fuck with their settings if you're an asshole. But you know, if you're like a family or whatever, like you buy the game one time and then like 7 or 14 or whatever amount of people, I forget what it is, you can have on a single Xbox, all can play that one game. Like, you don't have to buy it once, you don't have to buy it 14 fucking times or whatever. It's just, it was so fucking simple to set up. And then, like, I didn't have to, like, log out. I just switched over to my account and then, like, boop, it was still there because I downloaded it and I could play it and I get the achievements. It's my save file. You know, that's, you know, so it's.
Yeah.
It's all the stuff they wanted to do. And I remember at that time being like, everyone's shitting on this. This is fucking stupid because this is the way it's going. And here we are.
Yep. I mean, we knew it was all going to happen eventually. I will bet dollars and donuts the next console we'll try this shit again with no discs.
Oh, it'll be. I mean, they've already announced that it'll probably take not this one, but the next one will be no discs. I mean, because that's just the way it is. That's the way it's going.
It's just, and physical media, man. I mean, like I said earlier, it's kind of going in, and like it's going to collectors. Like there's still collectors doing it, but it's really, especially now that
because collector's editions don't come with the fucking game anymore.
Yeah. No, that's only if you're EA. And then also,
they're testing the waters, man. How many people will buy the collector's edition without the game?
Like the thing is, like the Xbox and PlayStation learned from Steam. Like they started like really building up their online stores and having amazing deals that outshine the brick and mortar physical shops. So I mean, sometimes it is better. Like right now, today I got WWE 2K19 for PlayStation, so I could just chill on the couch with it. The deluxe edition, which came out at $90, was half off. It was $45. And it's like, and the game's only been out for like a month. Yeah. It's like, yeah, dude, how can you pass that up while you go back to the store? Like if I went to GameStop today, $90, you know? Why I can understand now why people want to go digital.
Yeah, this is better. I can see again an issue with the. I think as long as like we have people overseas, whether it be like military and stuff, that do not have access to the internet the way that or you know in the speeds that we do here in the States, I think that will be a disk drive. Because I know that was a big complaint as well, is that those that were stationed overseas, you know, in the middle of the desert or wherever, they may not have internet to protect their privacy, to protect them from, you know, people finding out where they are if they're not supposed to, you know, be, but they still take their PlayStations and their Xboxes and stuff with them. They just can't connect to the internet.
The only problem with that is that we're living now in a generation we just talked about in the pre-show. Fallout 76 has a 48 fucking gigabyte patch. And a lot of these games where you insert them and you're expecting them to play, you have to download the game first or you have to download a patch first.
Well, if it's not connected to the network, does it know that it needs a patch to run? Why would it not just, you know what I mean? Like, you'd probably get whatever is on the disc.
Because some of the games have to be installed first and then they have to, some of the games have to download data first in order to complete the entire game.
But at the same time, like, there must not be that huge of an issue. I mean, I feel like we'd hear more about it from especially those people. And I don't know. I don't, you know, I'm sure there's probably a Reddit somewhere where like there's people bitching about being overseas and not being able to play these games because they bought it. And
maybe that's
even though they're not hooked up to the network, they have to download, you know, another 20 gigs worth of data, which is so stupid to me.
That's why the Switch is so important now. Just buy a Switch. Those fucking games just work. You put them in.
Yeah.
Right.
Leave it to Nintendo to keep it keep tradition.
Yep. Let's see. Sony will be skipping E3 for the first time ever in 2019, and the internet went crazy. But I just went, Oh, well. So they're going to go the Apple route, and they're going to go to the Nintendo route. And
yeah, they're going to have their own.
They're going to just do their own thing. They've already been doing their own thing, and I think that they also probably don't have... you know, when you come out with a new product nowadays, it has to be a spectacle, right? And so E3, yes, it provided that spectacle. But here, Sony can control it. Sony can choose when to do it, and where all eyes are only on them and not comparing it to what's coming with Xbox. I don't know if that plays into their favor. I don't know if that hurts them. But what it does do is it limits the kind of, you know, you only get with E3. It's like, okay, well, you get the spotlight for one evening and then that's it. Sony can do whatever the fuck they want now and stretch it out or spend as much time as they want on something. So I, you know, as much as I loved doing the E3 things with you guys, and like, we used to stream it and watch it together and like, oh shit, yeah. Like, yeah, we could still do that. It just won't be around that time, but it's kind of, that's the only thing that kind of bums me out.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
That is the bummer, yeah. But I mean, it was like how we used to be anticipated for Steam sales back when they had flash sales and everything. And it sucks. It's kind of just taking the steam out of everything. no pun intended.
Yeah. But I'm just reading the quote from them, and it feels so full of like, hot air bullshit. You know what I mean? It's just like they're just blowing hot air up our asses. Where it's just like, PlayStation fans mean the world to us, and we always want to innovate, think differently, and experiment with new ways to delight gamers. As a result, we've decided not to participate in E3 2019. We are exploring new and familiar ways to engage our community in 2019, and can't wait to share our plans with you. So what you're telling me is that E3, like 2-3 years ago, opened up the doors to non-industry people, like just fans, to come onto the floor and go to the panels and stuff. So your fans are more interactive with you now, and you pull out. Cool. Yeah. Go it's bullshit. What they didn't like that they didn't get to control, I guess, maybe how many people or who got to see what and who got to do what, and they didn't get paid for it, you know, or whatever. Like, so they're going to do their own thing. They're going to charge people to go to it. They're going to charge an arm and a leg, and they're just going to make money off it instead of going to a huge convention and like a huge event for literally the entire gaming world. Yeah. Gamers and studios.
I bet you it'll be something like PlayStation Con.
Yeah. I mean, they've had that already. Like, they used to do PlayStation Experience or whatever. They would do it in December. This year was canceled or something happened. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they do their own.
Now we know why. But yeah, hey, probably, listen, as long as
they're probably going to make some announcement, yeah.
As long as they stream bullshit. It and we can watch people getting up and moving to different areas, that'd be cool.
God, that was such a fucking disaster. I'm really glad I didn't go to that, like, at the theater, because that would have been just, like, that was such a shitty, shitty one.
I'd say, I mean, listen, Sony did this with the PS2. They're doing it now with the PS4. I hope that they learned from their lessons from the PS3, but, you know, maybe they don't. Maybe this is a great thing. Maybe they're going to end up, you know, thinking that they're so badass that they stumble again, and then Xbox comes back and just fucking overtakes them again, and it'll be back and forth.
They've got a lot of momentum. Like, Microsoft is killing it right now, and they're the thing that they're keep, like, now with this updated backwards compatibility stuff going on, like, I just repurchased Final Fantasy 13 because they threw in an Xbox One X patch that basically, like, updates the graphics, updates the all the cinematics in the original version that came out in, like, 2008 were all 720p. Now they're all, like, either 1080p or 4K. Like, all this stuff for Xbox One X, like, they're really they're doing good for the gamers now. Yeah. They may not have started off good or with gamers in mind, but they've definitely got gamers in mind now.
They still don't have games.
No, yeah, but that's their problem.
But what they do, again, like, kind of what he's saying, you know, like, the reason why, like, I would want Xbox One X, I mean, is for the native 4K for Red Dead 2, and then also the 4K patch for Red Dead 1. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's not necessarily, it doesn't, you know, it's not going to make one look like two. Like, that's not what we're talking about. But, like, in comparison to what it looked like on, you know, the 360 to what it looks like on the Xbox One X is still a night and day difference.
Yeah,
like,
but the thing is,
a game that came out 7 years ago.
But the thing is, you haven't bought it for that. Like, you still haven't bought it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's because
I'm poor as fuck, Jeremy.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not Kevin who can just go drop money on bullshit he doesn't need for no reason.
I had an $8
credit.
It was $8. I had $8. I said, money well spent.
He's like, well, I've got this $8. Might as well put it towards an Xbox One X.
No, I'm talking. Oh, I was talking about the Final Fantasy. I'm defending my Final Fantasy purchase.
No, I don't give a shit about that. I was talking about the Xbox
Final
One.
Final Fantasy 13. It's on sale right now for $8.
And the PS4 VR.
I love that. I still use it. What are you talking about?
Okay. Sure you do, Kevin.
Dude, PSVR. Sure.
Dude, last PSVR. Month sure you said that you were burnt out on it and you didn't like it that much.
No, I was talking about the Vive.
No.
No, yeah.
You bought a Vive?
I was talking about the Vive because I have no room in my office to like do all the stuff that the Vive like is good for.
Hold on. We have an archive of this. In our chats.
Reference episode 187. Maybe. I mean, I put things down. And plus, I've got a fucking huge backlog of games that I'm still going through. I'm still going through Red Dead. I still need to finish Spider-Man. I was hoping that was going to be on sale, but it wasn't. No, a friend let me borrow his Vive. So I got to try it out. Like I hooked it up to my PC and everything. It looks great, but like I said, my office is too small to really capture it all the way.
All right, let's move on here. It looks like Nintendo's Reggie filibuster aim bot is dashing any hopes for the N64 Classic. He says it's not happening. Why?
Yeah. Probably because they can't make it fast enough.
And they probably also are just going to release all those games on the Nintendo Store.
I hope so, but I think that
I'll buy them.
I think that what we talked about before, though, I think that these games are going to eventually come to the Nintendo Online Netflix.
Awesome,
yeah. But
that's what I'm saying.
But I think that it's not going to happen for another 2 years. I think that they fill this year with all their NES games, then we get the SNES games, and then finally we'll get the 64 games. Unless they switch it up and surprise everybody and go, here's some cool fucking games. I don't know if they'll do that.
That would be great. That was the Nintendo update. Nintendo update. Here's some cool fucking games for you.
Rowdy says, he said it's not happening now. What he said was, I would not ever rule something out, but what I can tell you is certainly the N64 Classic is not in our planning horizon.
Yeah.
That's complete bullshit with their planning horizon. They know. They know people want it.
So, Sirius, subscribe to with
Quick Prime. Yeah, Sirius.
So I feel like
earlier
I
too, Darth Mach subscribed using Prime.
This entire
don't get
fucking
too sad,
episode,
boys.
This entire fucking episode has been nothing but Kev talking over me. Oh, I'm sitting here trying to talk and say what Sirius had to say with his subscription, and you just talk over me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
CBS is going to air a Video Game Choice Awards next month. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, gaming making it to the major networks, that's an important thing, I think, to... you know, solidify it more as being a part of pop culture in a major way. So that's pretty cool. The
hosted
gamers,
by Kerry Keegan too.
Yeah, Kerry Keegan, director of Twitch Studios.
You don't know?
Who is that?
Kerry Keegan. She's a actress, isn't she?
You gonna make fun of me for not knowing?
I'm like, yeah, Kerry Keegan.
And then you say, isn't she?
Kerry Keegan is an American television personality, actress, writer, and producer known as the host of Up Close with Kerry Keegan. What?
The morning Buzz Live and VH1 panelist. What?
Yeah. That sounds about right. Good job, CBS.
All right, cool. No one knows gaming more, I guess.
It couldn't be worse than that year they got Joel McHale to cover it. Listen up, nerds. Here's some awards.
I'm not a huge fan of DJ Wheat.
DJ Wheat?
Who's DJ
Wheat? From Twitch. He's all the E3 stuff.
Oh.
I think he was also in that that episode of what was that show called where they did the esports thing?
Oh yeah, I don't like this guy.
Yeah. He's just not very he's a good journalist, he's just not a very good person.
Charming at all.
Person.
Is that funny? I know who you're talking about before I even see this picture here. Let's see here. Oh man, yeah, that's the guy I was thinking of. Yeah, yeah. He's a weirdo.
Now, to be fair, so like, you know, because I watch Twitch and stuff during like the E3 coverage most of the time, since it's no longer like on Spike or whatever. I also go to like IGN. Kind of go back and forth between them, since they kind of have the constant like coverage going. And he's always on there. And out of all the people on the Twitch panels, I think he's one of my one of the favorites of mine, which is not saying much again because like I don't care for him, but like everyone else I have is just. Is I don't find very good, but at least he's very knowledgeable about video games mm-hmm. and the industry mm-hmm. because he's been doing it for so long. But like, he's just not very personable. You know what I mean? Like, if I found myself talking to him, I don't think he and I could have a conversation.
Yeah,
because it's just like,
I find that a lot with a lot of the hosts that do these fucking shows and do the internet shows for IGN and all that. Very, I mean, yeah, everyone's knowledgeable about it, but. It's so cringeworthy the way that they just don't have this smoothness to them.
Yeah, if you're not, I don't say engaging, but if you're not personal, again, it's kind of like, you know, someone said something about Greg Miller earlier in one of our chats. I think it was Mike posted something about Greg Miller, who used to be on IGN or whatever.
He's getting kind of funny now, I think.
Yeah, he's got another podcast thing. He left IGN like a year, 2 years ago. Like, I didn't like his coverage of E3 stuff either. Because, again, while he's super knowledgeable about video games and the industry and all that stuff, the dude is not fucking funny at all. Like, mm-hmm. he's not funny. And so he thinks he's funny. I guess someone out there thinks he's funny. But his segments would always be, like, super lame and boring. And the people that he would interact with also didn't, could you tell they didn't think he was funny. And they wouldn't, like, engage in his jokes and his prodding and like, the things he would try to get out of them when he would talk to them about their video games or whatever at E3. I don't know. There's something about like video game journalists. If you're not the McElroy brothers, I guess at Polygon, then you just quit.
Adam Sensler was really good.
Yeah, and they quit Polygon. Like they don't work there anymore.
They're not even that good anymore. They had to quit.
Whoa.
Adam Sensler and Morgan Webb were fantastic together. Uh-huh. Like I miss seeing them talk. Like I could listen to them.
They still cover stuff like that.
Do they on what? I never know where they're working.
They have their own E3 coverage. Both of them work together on E3.
Awesome. I'd watch that. I would prefer that because I mean that they know their shit and they're fun to talk like listen to as well.
Yeah, and they have that like relationship between each other where they've known each other forever.
Yeah.
Where like they have that kind of camaraderie and you know, it's like, you know, when people like listen to us, we always get that like it's the banter back and forth is what they like hear. I don't know. Fuck y'all if you don't think so. But like, that's what people like about them as well is that they have that like, you know, they've been working together for, you know, near 20 years now.
Yeah.
They just know each other up and down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wanna lick you up and down.
What? Oh no.
What?
Stop. H1Z1 Pro League is shutting down, guys.
Speaking of licking up and down, H1Z1.
Did not even know that was a thing.
It was a thing. I guess they couldn't pay people. I guess there was a contract signed that people, ESPN didn't get paid, players didn't get paid. No one plays this game. No one cares. Let's move on.
Man.
Cliffy B isn't making video games anymore, guys.
Well, especially after Lawbreakers. That was so bad.
He says he's sick and tired of these gamers.
I mean, who isn't?
You know, he's like, I didn't take a salary myself for 2 years. He mentions paying for employee expenses for months after they closed, even though an employee said, it was 3 weeks.
Well, I guess when you add it all together, it would be months. You would be paying for it for months.
Yeah.
Well, I got to pay for all these employees, all their stuff for 3 weeks each. That stacks up.
You see, stacking the deals here. I paid them 12 years worth.
People were upset about the game and everything, and he's like, I get that you're sad, but God, this is the kind of shit. It's another reason I'm not ever making a video game again.
All right, slow down there, Phil Fish.
He's done. I mean, listen, he's got millions and billions of fajillions of dollars.
hot wife and everything. What's he got to worry about? Lambos and shit.
You sound so sad.
PUBG. Guys, hey, you remember when we talked about PUBG a couple weeks ago? And it felt like a couple weeks ago. And they had this whole campaign that said, fix PUBG, right? It was focused on fixing the core of the game, making sure that it was running right, not worrying about selling other shit and like selling, just fixing the game because that's what people want, right? Mm-hmm. They've ended that campaign. They are no longer worried about PUBG. They're going to be shifting focus for next year.
Well, so I'm reading on a little more, and they say that on the client performance front, the team saw fairly large improvements. The average time to load one level has dropped from 14.4 seconds to 5.6 seconds. Environmental effects, vehicle destruction effects, hit effects, smoke effects have been improved, and they're planning to improve on weapon-related logic and effects as well. Okay. So they have made some fixes and changes. I saw, I don't know if you guys know Break. He's another Twitch streamer. He's part of TSM, that pro gaming team or whatever. They have teams in like every league, whether it be like Dota or
Overwatch
and all that stuff. So it was like him and like Smack and all these other guys. You know, they're part of the PUBG team, and he said like, you know, he hadn't played PUBG in a while because of the issues with the game, and that I guess some improvement they made recently, he said it made it feel like a completely new and fixed game, even though he's like, I know that there's still issues with the game that I can see, but he's like this huge fix that they did that like no one's giving them credit for, he's like, it's been amazing, and it's changed, and he's like, it's brought me back into the game, it's changed how I feel about the game, which is again, I mean, this is someone who you know, I say he's one of a pro player, but they don't do tournaments all the time. And in fact, right now, like I've been watching him. He's been playing Black Ops 4 or whatever, like nonstop recently.
How much did they pay him to say all that?
I don't know. Probably a good amount.
Yeah.
That was the amount they were going to spend on the rest of the fixed budget campaign.
They just said, "Ah, we'll put it out next week." I guess they're still having desyncing issues. I guess they're trying to fix that with the November said. I guess it's less frequent now after a November 7th patch. So
I keep still having that problem where I wouldn't spawn in, like the screen would be black, but I would hear everything, and then like it would get to the point where I just sit on the plane and like right into the end, then all of a sudden like I'll appear. And then I'll get shot because everyone thinks I was AFK.
Hmm. Me too.
I haven't played PUBG in months.
I haven't played it in years.
It's been a fortnight.
It's been a long time.
Let's see. Man, if we played one match of Black Ops 4 together.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can't even play Blackout together, let alone do shit. Getting back into PUBG.
I spent $59 on that game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Last time
the problem is like the time, think of the time that it came out though, like what else has come out since then?
Nothing.
Everything.
Nothing.
Red Dead 2, Pokemon Let's Go, Diablo 3, like none of us have played anything since Diablo 3 came out.
True. I've been playing a lot of Diablo 3. Yes.
So. Speaking of old games coming back out, this is our last story of the night. We're going to get out of here, but stay tuned for the after show where we're going to have a Q&A. And we'll let you know about who won for this week's Misconnections. EA is going to remaster their first Command & Conquer, their first two Command & Conquer games in 4K.
Awesome.
Because when you can't sell any of your newer games, you go back and you remaster your older ones.
That's right.
There hasn't been a new Command & Conquer game in years, though.
That's what they should be doing, man.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Those games, I mean, they got to find a way to kind of reinvent the RTS, especially now in this MOBA, age.
Yeah, I guess I guess the RTS did turn into MOBAs, didn't they?
Yeah, like it's kind of evolved into it.
Yeah. Huh.
But with now, I mean, it's kind of a return to, like, if you think about it, it's kind of a return to RTS because we have, you know, mentioned at BlizzCon, you know, they're bringing back Warcraft 3 Reforged, And now you have EA doing Command & Conquer. I mean, those were the two juggernauts back in the day of RTS.
Do you think that that's why they announced it?
That's why it's happening.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Hey, remember when EA, like a couple of years ago, was about remastering Mass Effect? And they're like, no, we're not really into the remaster business.
Yeah, well, when your other titles don't start selling, you go back to ones that didn't make money.
Dude, I would still to this day buy a fucking HD or like whatever, like a 4K remake of Mass Effect.
I want them to completely remake it with 4K textures and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I want them to do the same with like the Old Republic series.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Remember, we were talking about that. It was supposed to happen at one point, wasn't it?
Sure. But, you know, Disney. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want them to make a Diablo 3 like game for Star Wars on the Switch. Like, I'm playing this game. I'm just like, I want to go back and play with the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a little more RPG, but like I was like, it would feel so good on like this device, this sort of device.
Speaking of Old Republic, fucking that's another one that we got Xbox One X enhancements. And so that one has like 4K, like, you know, it smooths out the textures and everything. For an original Xbox game, it still looks ugly, but it's the nicest ugly you're gonna see.
Yeah, I don't want that ugly. You keep that ugly back there.
Jared's so picky about how things look.
Well, I can't even go back and play Final Fantasy VII. It's an eyesore.
Like, creamed his pants over himself, like, you know, 10 years ago. You nasty Jared, boy.
Wait, hold on. What did I cream? Boy. Over myself?
Yeah. No, over the games of 10 years ago. Like, oh, my God. Oh, the stars.
Oh, I know. Listen, I've done it my entire life. I've looked at Madden back on the Sega Genesis and said to my friend, it'll never get better than this. It's so realistic. And, you know, every time things do get better, it's very difficult for me to go back and play old classics and stuff because of that. And I am a graphics snob, and I can admit that. Now, I mean, there's certain games that I can always go back and they're timeless, mostly NES games, anything 8-bit, 16-bit, 32-bit. I think those are timeless classics. But as soon as you add polygons to something, it looks like horse shit.
Pixels are ageless.
So all right, that's the show, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed it. Stay tuned a little bit later here for the after show. If you don't know what we're talking about, well, check out Patreon next week. You'll get the lowdown. I am Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Until next week, lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.
Oh no.